This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, Spitwads, on today's show, we're going to chat through a job interview predicament that, I'm guessing it turns out to be pretty, pretty funny. We're going to talk about the Midas touch, about being publicly humiliated, and we're going to draft college degrees that we wish we had. So do not miss a minute of today's Spit Hit episode.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Yeah, all right.
I just let it come to me. I just followed the music and prayed.
That's usually what you're supposed to do with a sketch. Somewhere along the way, we lost ourselves.
We stopped following the music.
Yeah.
Welcome into the Spitballers Podcast. Andy, Mike, and Jason back with you. I mean, it feels like it's been a million years, but it's only been a week. I mean,
it does.
Unbelievable.
Almost feels like we haven't recorded in several weeks.
And yet here we are just a week after the last episode.
And
ready to spitball
sharp
again.
As attack with that scat intro there.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, spectacular. Episode 153. Would you rather? That's a great question. And a wonderful draft on today's episode of the show. You can find us on Twitter at SpitballersPod. We appreciate all you beautiful people giving us those nice, kind reviews over on Apple Podcasts, subscribing, following, reviewing, all of that jazz. Very nice. Very nice.
And all that jazz.
Honestly, if you have a scat that you feel really good about.
Oh.
Yeah.
You could leave it as a review.
Now, how would that work?
You got to write it out.
You got to write the scat out.
Skeet up, beep, boop, beep, dap,
I'm not going to lie to you.
I'll read one.
I was very excited for where I thought you were going. I thought we were going to say, if you think you can scat as good as us, which of course you can, record it to the music. You know what I mean?
No. Listen,
send it in, and then we'll play that, and we'll get out of having to do the scat.
No, what we're going to do is you leave us a 5-star review with your scat, and I've got the scat next. And okay. I'm going with yours.
Whoa.
I'm going with somebody's 5-star review where they write their scat out, and I'm going to interpret it. You write it, I interpret it into art.
If only this episode was released by the time you scat next, that would work.
In the future, you will do this. I will do that. What? Maybe in a couple of weeks when I gather them.
But Jason is right. We need to have. We'll figure out some kind of competition. We got some spitballer swag.
We need to maintain control of the show, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean we will,
and the show's for the people.
We will definitely
us.
Yes.
Weed out all the bad ones. We would never put that on the show.
# scat sampler.
Scat sampler. Oh,
I don't know if
goodness.
I want that platter.
Ooh, all right, platter, please.
Speaking of reviews, we got one.
Reviewasaurus Rex.
This one comes in from U.S. Soldier from the United States of America. Thank you for your service. 150 episodes later is the title of the review. 5 stars. Here's what I've learned through 150 episodes. These guys have never read a science book.
Hey.
A worthwhile piece of literature.
Hey.
And they are somehow better for it. Congratulations on 150 episodes.
Thank I don't know you. How to take that.
Thank you, us soldier.
I think
we're better for it, but then I have to get that compliment, I got to accept the the comments before it.
Also, you threw out a poo-poo platter joke, which, I mean, like, that's a classic kid joke.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's delicious.
It's my favorite.
A poo-poo platter is incredible.
Absolutely great.
It is absolutely incredible. Andy, do you not realize that this is a real thing?
Oh, poo-poo platter, especially we go to the one where it comes on fire, like the... It's a real nice presentation. There's
Brooks, Al, do you know what the heck they're talking about?
No idea.
A typical poo-poo platter is found in American Chinese cuisine. Egg roll, spare ribs, chicken wings, chicken fingers.
That's a poo-poo
beef teriyaki.
Platter.
Mm. It's like...
What it's going to do to you.
It's like it's like a sampler.
Okay.
But it's called the poo-poo platter.
The scat sampler.
They should really change that to the scat sampler.
And, I was on my honeymoon with my wife, and we were calling. It's like...
Seems like the right person to be on your honeymoon with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, she was there. And we were ordering some Chinese cuisine. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I've never known what was in it. And then I called up and I tried to order it. And I was full on stupid American child, man. Just like.
You tried to order the poo-poo platter?
You couldn't get it
just,
out.
I'll take the. Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity IHOP commercials where
where's the bag on the head to order it?
He couldn't order it. That was me trying to order this from these fine people who are just trying to make me some good food.
And you're just pointing to it. I'll take that.
And I'm a 5-year-old child, and it was an incredible moment.
That's funny. Would you rather time?
Would you rather?
By the way, our draft today is very cerebral. I mean, this is educational,
yes.
Intellectual, like mm-hmm. those things you said we don't possess. It will be evident selections.
Pretty soon I will possess them all.
Yeah, at the end of this show. Mm-hmm. Would you rather question from Chris? Would you rather receive $100 to have somebody publicly humiliate you once per week?
Humiliation.
Or pay someone $100 to publicly compliment you once a week.
Oh.
So
per
you
week.
Get 100. Okay.
So we're talking like 400 bones a month here.
Yeah, you get 100 a week if you're publicly humiliated.
Now, the public is the real important part of this, right? It's not like someone's coming up to you and just saying, hey, Mike, you're looking good today. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or hey,
right.
Mike, pants, and then run off. Yeah. This is full... public, you are...
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you have something that you're so humiliated about in your past that today you would write a check of X amount of dollars to eliminate from your past?
Oh, my goodness.
I literally told the world about pooping in my pants, which you can Google.
But to be fair, you were an adult, and once you hit a certain age... Like,
you also weren't humiliated.
Yeah.
Why can't I say that word?
Why can't you say it? What is
it? Now I'm like having a pause. Humiliated.
Yeah, it's WHO.
I've been humiliated.
Why am I saying what way?
But you weren't humiliated at all in that. You were humiliated when you had to tell the story, maybe. But in the moment, nobody knew. Yeah, I mean,
that's
literally
true.
The story.
Literally, my father, who was the only person I was with, found out that I pooped my pants pretty much in his car afterwards.
If
when
anything, he
when
was humiliated yeah, by not was, knowing.
Yeah, that's right. Let me think. Do I have
what? I have one.
Okay.
I have one for
you. Would
growing.
Take it away.
If I could pay $100 and remove...
No. You, how much would you pay?
Oh, man.
Not $100. I mean, this is like...
Well, here's... We've talked about my memory and like how it could be, very strong, and so you remember things like this. How much I would pay, I do not know. But here, the moment was, I was in elementary school, and I don't know what it was, but I ended up, I don't know if it was, I'm trying to remember if it was me not willing to ask the parents or the parents just kept buying them, but I definitely wore the underoos too long. And which in underoo, if you're not aware of what I'm talking about specifically, you're talking about the little kids, the whitey tighties or the tidy whiteys.
You wore them too long,
but they have the characters on them.
Yeah,
like so you didn't make I didn't make the grow up leap. Not and this isn't to boxer shorts yet because that's junior high when you're like,
you gotta have them. I wear,
you're becoming a man.
Yeah, I wear. I'm a man, so now
I wear shorts under my shorts.
Now I wear these giant flowy underpants that do absolutely nothing. But I wore like character underpants.
Yeah.
Too long.
You got a Wolverine on the buttocks.
Right. Yeah. And that you're closer than you think. I don't remember which one it was.
It was on the front.
But no, it was on the butt because this was in PE and we were learning how to do backwards somersaults.
Oh no.
And your boy had, unbeknownst to me, a hole in my butt region.
Oh, and someone called you out on
not
it.
Not only did that happen, I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I was doing a backwards somersault over and over and over, just stretching the hole for everyone to see.
To see the characters on your underwear.
To see that Mike had pound puppies or whatever on his underpants at an age that it was no longer the cool thing
to do.
Did
you wear them ever again?
Oh, it was pretty rapid that we moved on to boxers.
Oh,
that night. That night, they all were destroyed in the fireplace.
So if I could remove that shame for like a couple hundred dollars, I would definitely do that.
That's funny. And you remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, and it's fine now, but I still would like to forget it.
Being humiliated is one of my worst fears. Like that feeling is the worst.
It's the worst.
I would rather pay. Like I would pay to not have that happen, which is what this question really is.
I think that there is an argument to be made here that you are, in essence, while you are paying, you're getting paid because there is a social currency and public compliments will spread. If others like you, if others think you're good looking, if others think you're funny.
If others think you wear boxers.
I mean, you know, people are going to be like, oh.
Mike wears boxers, pass it on.
Yeah, you start the next day, I hear Mike wears men's boxers.
Did you see that guy's grown-up underpants?
Spread it around.
Those are total grown-up undies.
He shows up the next day, the hole's still in the pants. He's like, you want me to do some more somersaults?
I think he had a tie on underneath.
Is that a bow tie on your
do you have a
belt line?
I mean, since this is kind of translated into that story, do you have a humiliating story you pay to remove?
I don't think so.
I know you say you're no shame, but I mean, is there something that you're like, because I have one.
Of mine. No, I have one that I think you should get,
you
rid,
should
of.
Get rid of.
I
this.
Wish I never knew this. I nothing comes to mind. I have, you know, I don't humiliate easily. I'm fine being the public butt of a joke. I enjoy that. I lean into that. But I have been humiliated. I mean, there are moments where I you know, would run that back.
Sure.
But I literally can't think of a single one now. So I don't think they scar me very deep.
Right.
Or I just have no memory at all of most
and
things.
And you do love
life.
Compliments, and you like people to think high of you. So would you pay $100 for the?
This
the compliments?
This one's really, really tough because I don't care that much about any of it. So I guess in the end, I'd rather have $100.
Mm.
Like, I don't care too much about the compliment. I don't care too much about the public humiliation. But in one of these...
Flattery doesn't pump your tires?
Oh, sure it does. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, if you tell me I'm looking good, I'm going to feel better about myself.
Okay. He feels better when he tells himself he's looking good.
Looking
good.
The man in the mirror is the only one who says that. No, so I guess I'm getting $100 to be publicly humiliated once a week.
Now, and this it's not just that. I mean, you got to think of your opportunity cost here. This is what we got, like a $800 swing, because you're either up 400 or you're down 400.
It's true. Yeah, you got to
choose.
Basically,
I'm getting $200 here,
right?
A week.
Okay. I guess I'll pay for compliments.
You're darn right. I'm paying for a compliment. Deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, see here. I guess this makes sense, right? Because, like, I get compliments already. So you guys are like, I'm going to pay for them, and that makes sense. And I'm happy for you guys now. You'll start getting those on the reg.
Yeah, those aren't compliments, Jason. Trevor from the website says, you are just sitting down for a very important job interview. Would you rather have to pull out a hard-boiled egg and peel it and eat it throughout the interview or release a silent but deadly fart and have to sit in it throughout the interview?
Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, if you – I just put yourself in that boat.
That is –
So either way, it smells like egg in that room.
Right.
But at least one of them You know the reason. Here's the deal. An interview, generally speaking, is two people.
Yeah.
The interviewee and the interviewer. And most people, I'm going to say the vast majority, know if they farted or not. So on the fart side, this is not a question. This is like, so how'd the interview go? Oh, dude, this room stunk. He ripped butt in that interview, and the whole place smelled. That's OUT. I feel like.
Yeah, but are you more likely to hire that guy or the guy that pulls out a hard-boiled egg and eats it during the interview?
If I have to do that, if I have to pull out a hard-boiled egg and eat it while doing the interview, super serious, I am confident I could pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're like, I got
and get the job?
Oh, yeah. I get the job because of it.
But
dude,
who are you hiring as an employer?
You got to talk about your macros.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm on a schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we were in the interview room with Al Borland, and he walked in, and he pulled out a hard-boiled egg and ate it in front of us, or he did the fart, you would hire which guy first?
Oh, look, number one, it's shelled, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to peel it.
You have to.
That's everything. That it comes down to that.
But that's a skill test?
I am watching you. How do you perform peeling this egg? Number one, you're under the pressure of you're doing this in front of somebody while doing a job interview. Number two, peeling an egg. There's ups and downs of peeling an egg. Sometimes it just comes right off, and sometimes you're in a mono.
Do you have a sink?
You're really learning something about
this person
because you're learning even more than how
they love eggs.
You're learning how are they at boiling the eggs, because that's what makes all the difference in being able to peel them or not.
Do they pocket the shells or do they just
toss
them on
the ground? Yeah, what do you do with the
shells? Oh, man, you got to pocket the shells. You can't make a mess. That'd be
that's
so
an awkward
rude.
Thing in and of itself.
That would be so rude.
Do you have an ashtray?
But I feel like, so Mike, you're saying you'd talk about your macros, like your diet.
Yeah, yeah.
You would explain it away. I would take the approach of this is not mentioned. I'm acting like nothing is happening. I'm answering the questions they're giving me. I'm making no mention
You're
of this
You're a man
this
of
egg.
Mystery.
Yes. There's
Do you
just...
take it out of your jacket pocket, the coat, inside coat pocket?
Inside coat pocket,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, is it the breast pocket or is it the coat pocket?
It's the inside of the coat pocket.
Yeah, so, where he would pull out his FBI badge.
Right, and so I pull out the egg. And I say, you know, look, I think the biggest opportunity for growth in me, and I'm answering
where
the
do
questions.
You, where do you crack?
Where do I start the crack?
Yeah. Do you tap it on like a table, or do you some kind of roll it in your hand?
Using fingernails?
I think I can start it with
bite
my,
it?
No, I'm not biting the shelled egg, Mike. Not a psychopath. I think I can start it with just, man, you do have
I'm
to
using
crack
it
that.
As yeah. a story point. I'm saying... You know, look, every company
is like an egg.
It's like an egg. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get to the kind of...
The protein.
And then I take a big gulp and run.
The middle might be full of cholesterol.
Right.
Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? We just don't know.
How many bites is the least embarrassing amount of bites for an egg?
Well, it's not one. That's for sure. One bite, you put that whole hard-boiled egg in your mouth, and that interview is over.
What do you average bites on a hard-boiled egg?
I think it's like five or six.
Five?
Yeah, because...
What are you, a two-year-old?
No, look, if it's a deviled egg, right, which is like... No, it's because of the yolk. Eating a big piece of yolk. If you've eaten a hard-boiled egg yolk... That's like eating a box of crackers. It's the driest thing in the world. Now
you have to eat it with the white part.
Do you bring a fork and knife?
Yeah, that's the other breast pocket. You pull out your silverware, you just start eating it like a steak right on the table.
And then do you offer some to him?
I'm pretty selfish
with
my food, so I don't think I would.
Yolk?
I would ask, do you have a glass of milk?
Do you have some salt? Okay.
But even still, I'm taking the egg. I'm not farting in the interview of just me, mano a mano, smell my innards.
I'm hiring the farter.
What's the... Okay.
Because everybody farts. Not everybody eats an egg in the middle of an interview. That tells me you're a crazy person.
How many interviewers, do you need on that side of the table before it changes your opinion and you'll squeeze it out?
Oh, just one. Wait, interviewers?
No, I get what you're saying. If it's a boardroom with like four people.
Yeah, if there's four people over there, you have plausible deniability.
Giving me the interview.
Yes.
Oh, that makes it even worse for me. Because they're all going to know. because they can talk to each other afterwards. But if it's one other person in the interview, it's me and another person, I'm gonna let it leak, and I'm gonna give him some bad eye. I'm gonna look at the other guy interviewing for this job.
You're not gonna convince this guy he farted.
No. I'm not gonna bring it up. But I'm gonna be seen by the interviewee or the interviewer. I'm gonna be seen by them, and they're gonna look, and they're gonna go, I think I know who did it. Because they're right. No. They see me kind of glancing, like, oh my gosh, what did this guy do? You know what I'm saying? So the people giving the interview, I'm getting them on my side. I'm in this with them.
You're the one who farted.
But they don't know that.
Yes, they do.
How would they possibly know? It's that silent but deadly.
They would know because they didn't fart.
No, that's what I'm saying. There are two people getting interviewed at the same time.
Oh, okay. Right, I thought you were still in the same 101.
I did too. No, I missed that. Now, so, do you take like intentional big sniffs?
No.
Do you draw attention?
No, because the whole room's going to know. This is bad.
Yeah,
But is it
better for you to catch it before anybody else does? Or is that smelt to delt it?
I think that smelt to delt it. Okay. I think you just want to...
You can't find one of the other rhymes?
Once it's a big problem, that's when you've got to be uncomfortable. Maybe scoot away from the other person being interviewed. just as a show of disrespect.
Mid-talking, just...
Yeah, just scoot away.
All right. LJ from the website, would you rather be able to choose the time period, place, or socioeconomic class in which you live? You can only choose one, and the others will be selected at random.
Okay. All right, so there's three things that will be assigned to us, and that's time.
Time period at random, place at random, or socioeconomic class at random. Because there were some times when I was literally just looking up how many people have ever lived on the earth ever.
Ooh.
Do you want to take a guess? I mean, that's just a fun fact.
It's, man,
which is almost the exact same question as how many people have ever died, just for the record.
Almost.
They're almost the same, but they're not.
Almost. Man.
Well, that would be minus 8 billion, right?
You're right.
Yeah, okay, so let's go like 50 billion?
I'm going to go less than that, but I'm going to go 36 billion.
All right, Price is Right.
100.
100 billion. Yeah, you're out. Loser.
About 107. So you add in the 7 to 8 alive today. But when I was reading this story, they highlighted, you know, lifespans in these different eras.
Right.
And, you know, there were times when, you know, it was 18, 19, 20 years old or, you know, 30 years old. So if you have a random draw in time period, I mean, you may have a very...
Ooh, okay.
Short life, but socioeconomic class will do that too.
Sure.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I mean, I imagine that, you know, back in the day, if you were in that top 1%, you probably, you know, didn't die of every little thing going wrong, the same as the people who basically were living without shelter and, you know, the average life would be much, much less.
I guess socioeconomic class spans all time in a good way for you.
Right. Yes.
That seems like maybe the one to pick.
Now, if I pick Hawaii.
Yes.
But I can't control the time.
You're going to have an island.
You're underwater.
Is there a chance I'm either just dropped right into the ocean for that 1 to 2 hours of my life?
Human existence.
Okay, human existence.
That's the timeline.
But is there a chance that I am there and no one has discovered the islands yet, and all this, so I'm just Tom Hanks in it on that island all by myself.
I don't think I live for
1 to 2 hours.
I don't think so. I think this has to be popular, because if time is that wide in this question, then you have to select time. Otherwise, it could be like, okay, you're in the 1%, and also this is 100 billion years after the Earth is gone.
It's just acid rain the whole time.
I think I'm going to take the 1%. I think when you know, I would much rather live now in the middle class than be a king, of 700, 800 years ago.
We already know I'd rather be the king. We've talked about that.
But since I can't really have control over both aspects, I think I'm going to take that top flight economic status and have the most comfortable situation I can have wherever geographically and whenever timeline-wise.
I'm going with the same answer. Mike, are you choosing
Oh, man.
He wants to go to Hawaii.
You can live in the future, like, though.
Oh, wait.
You thinking about
that? That's an option?
Right, in a time period?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be backwards. You could say, I want to live in the 2300s.
Hey,
see what's going on.
If dinosaurs are in play, so is the future.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm rolling the dice on the time. Man. Yeah, I'm going to the beach.
The cool thing about
I'll see you suckers later. I'll be in Hawaii.
So you're going Hawaii.
Yeah.
And we're taking the 1% and then we'll find out where we are. Because I could still end up in the future.
Yeah.
Future 1%? Oh man. Yeah, the technology. Yeah, buddy.
Maybe they're looked even more down upon in the future.
Or you're just
maybe
you're
in
the
enemy.
Machine.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to move on.
That's a great question.
Ed from Patreon.
Thank you for your support.
If you had one chance to turn anything you touch to gold, what would be the thing you'd want to touch? You cannot sell the item afterwards. It would just be something cool to show off to everyone.
So what would you like to paint gold?
Well,
it's
tough
not just paint because it's actual gold.
Okay.
And the non-selling part is interesting. And then, like, my instant reaction is something large. Because if it's large and gold, it will be even more rare.
Yeah,
and
I immediately went to, like, rocket ship. Those are very big.
Right.
And one made out of gold. We could
one made out of gold.
Thing.
But it wouldn't
You're
be yours.
You're not getting off the ground. You can now no longer use it.
I don't want to use it. I want to break it down into gold to sell.
But you can't. That's what it's saying.
Well, what about the Grand Canyon? Can you touch the Grand Canyon and now you've got a golden Grand Canyon?
Well, that's like saying the earth. I touched land.
Yeah, you got a real Midas problem there. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do the Grand Canyon.
I'm doing it for everybody. The Grand Canyon?
Whatever, the Grand Canyon. And then all of North America. Is gold.
I was doing this for the benefit of humanity. It's already beautiful. It'd be even nicer if it was gold, right?
Every time I've looked at the Grand Canyon,
humanity to ruin it.
I have thought to myself, man, this is okay, but
it's
you want to know what would take it up a notch? If all these mounts were made of pure gold,
that would look cool. That's what it says. It has to be something cool to show off.
Okay, I'm going with my basketball hoop out front. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
It's simple, but like that's pretty awesome.
You must be part of the 1%.
It's 10 feet tall, so this is no small thing that I got to pull out of a drawer to show off. And it's outside of my house. Everyone driving by, everyone coming up, hosting a party, everyone walking by is going to be like, "Is that
what weirdo?
Is that hoop made of gold?"
Yeah. And your next party, didn't you have a basketball hoop made of gold?
What about your car?
Stealing a basketball hoop that is cemented into the ground is no easy
It's
task.
Not easy, but people will figure it out.
I guess if it's pure gold, it's worth the effort.
What about your dog?
I feel like that's called maybe. Murder.
Maybe at the end.
What happened in Star Wars when...
Carbonite?
Oh, carbonite.
Yeah, I'm carbonite-ing my dog.
He
no,
made
thank
it,
you.
Han Solo made it through.
Oh, so maybe I'm just protecting my dog for longer.
No, Mike's right. It's like a different form of
taxidermy.
Taxidermy.
Yeah.
At the end. What if it's a golden retriever?
Oh man. Golden?
I don't know.
My dogs are literally golden doodles.
Ooh.
So,
are you guys out there really wanting to live the gold life?
No. I mean, what is...
I'm not a gold person.
Like, I'm trying to think to myself. I drive up to this house with the golden basketball hoop. Do I actually think, like, well of that? Do I drive up and go, like... Whoa, that's awesome. Or I go, what the heck is that? That's the ugliest looking hoop I've ever seen. Because here's what I would not assume.
How well does it shoot, though? Because, I mean, you have to play basketball on it.
Gold is a softer metal. So maybe the bank shots would be okay.
Easier?
I would imagine that the plexiglass or the fiberglass is better.
Why are we golding a basketball hoop?
Because that's what Jason Pat
wanted. I think you need to do your car.
And then it won't drive.
No, this is not this is not like literalism to the point where you can't drive the car. Is it? I'm looking at Al. You're not like...
He doesn't know.
Changing every, bit of it.
I'm sure you could, dunk a car in gold. You're just going to have to visit that gas station a lot.
Okay.
That's a
Mike,
lot of
Mike, do you
weight
have any ideas?
Around.
You want your house made of gold?
I was trying to think, do you just do like a your garage? But then I don't want people... driving past my house, seeing that I have gold basketball hoops and gold garages.
We pass on this one.
Oh, no. I don't, you're the pebble tech in your pool.
I just had the same thought.
The surface of your pool.
The surface of your pool.
Now, that'd be cool.
That is
baller. That would be really, really cool.
You jump in. I'm sure it gets it warmer earlier, too. You know, the reflective
I have no
metal.
Idea, Bill Nye.
All right.
I see. You know a lot about gold there.
A golden pool. I like it. I'm in.
Original AG. Okay. Levi from Patreon. With the famous viral video, Charlie Bit My Finger, being auctioned off as an NFT for, $750,000.
Mm-hmm.
What other iconic viral videos could you also put into the auction
man.
Pool?
I know the first one that comes to mind, and I would hope every cent goes to that poor kid. But the Star Wars kid.
The lightsaber kid in the garage.
That viral video is one of the...
That's one of the original.
That is literally one of... That has to be in the first, like, 10...
That was, like, E-Bombs World stuff.
Yeah, that was old. So a lot of kids listening now are going to be like, I don't know what this is. You can still find it. Man, that was... kids, don't put other people's embarrassing videos on the internet.
I don't think it went well for that kid after that video came out.
I imagine the Rickroll video would sell for almost more than anything.
The actual Rick Astley Rickroll video. But Astley would
never
do
gonna
that.
Give you up.
He's a true gentleman.
He should do that.
He would make more money. Sell the NFT and then somehow put it back in publication. And then be like, "What? You got Rickrolled, son?"
Man, I can't. When you're put on the spot for like
Gangnam Style was a very popular video.
But that's just like a music video. I'm trying to think of a short viral video, something that's like Charlie Bit Me.
Excuse me.
Oh, excuse me. That was a very, very good one.
not quite as viral.
Charlie
but
Bit
our,
My Finger was old.
Our audience. Yeah, that's what made me think of the Star Wars lightsaber kid. The Jaguars fan lady. That was that's a smaller scale, but our audience, if you know that one.
Can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show. Oh, that's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, that's good. Let me think.
Do you not have one, Andy?
I brought up the few that I had.
Rick Astley?
Yeah.
I'm going with that one. I'm going with the, you're right, Jason. Jaguars ladies for me.
Okay.
Brendan from the website. If you're at a restaurant and your food arrives first while the other person's is taking time, is it acceptable to eat before their food shows up? Not really.
It's not acceptable?
Honestly, I think it matters a little bit where you're at and what kind of restaurant you're at.
Really?
If you're at a sit down restaurant.
What if you're at like Chili's?
No, I don't think you should eat.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're
I mean, it's pretty lame when like you get your food and everybody else is waiting and you're just chowing.
Yeah, but you know what else is lame?
Not eating.
Well, number one, not eating. But number two, my food shows up, and then because I don't eat it, because it's...
It gets cold?
Because it's this faux pas, and now my food is not as good because it has cooled down.
It's funny, because you're... It's not because it's a faux pas.
Oh, it's 100% because it's a faux pas.
Yeah, what else would it be based off of?
These are weird
social rules that don't actually exist.
No, not at all.
You're saying that it's legitimate because
you want
it's
to
rude.
Share a meal with another person, and if you get your food and they don't, you're eating by yourself. So there's a little bit of like
what if they have
not
chips
just
and
focused
salsa?
On well then it, if the other person says go ahead and eat, you're fine.
I've never been to any situation in my life where the other person doesn't say that. I want someone out there to be like, you're going to wait for me, right?
Well, no, you don't have to say nothing.
Don't you eat.
Now it's okay. So that's the examining the other side of the social rule. Imagine someone saying, you go to take the bite, and then someone looks at you and go, seriously? Seriously, you're going to eat before my food is here? What kind of a turd nugget is that person for even bringing it up?
If the other person across from me got their food and started eating, and I even had the thought of how rude of them. I don't think that paints me in a good spot. Like, I couldn't imagine being upset at someone eating their food.
You're playing a dangerous game when you start eating. Because while maybe you get your food at the maximum heat for yourself and your own focus, what happens if that person's food takes a really long time? You are
get dessert early.
You're playing the gamble of you ate your food and then there shows up and you watch them eat. And when you go to a sit, that's why I said the sit down thing matters. If I'm at like a,
do you eat a lot standing up?
Do I eat a lot standing up?
So you keep saying sitting down.
Well, I meant like a sit down restaurant.
Well, yeah, like Chili's.
If you go, okay, if you go to like, yeah, I mean Chili's, you're really ruining.
Okay,
the situation.
I've got a better example here. Okay, let's say we, the three of us, it's lunch. We go to lunch, mm-hmm. and the two of you get your food right away,
okay.
and I don't get
now
my food
2v1.
And I don't get my food forever. Like, say, what happened about a week ago when we went to a sushi restaurant, and remember,
I did not
have my food forever. Now, Andy, I remember you chowing down right off the bat.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I was there. I was eating, too.
Well, you ate. You said, sorry, not waiting, and then you shoved it in your mouth.
Mike set a social precedent, and you did have soup before that.
Oh, that's okay. That's what I mean. So an appetizer matters.
Yeah, I mean, I guess lunch and dinner matter a little bit differently. Too. Let me ask you this,
okay,
Jason.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You go out to an anniversary dinner with your wife.
Okay.
And your big steak shows up, and hers takes an extra 30 minutes.
What kind of restaurant are you at?
I mean, truly.
Well, that's the only reason. That's the only way it makes it a big problem. Okay. Are you waiting for your wife's food to arrive, or are you eating?
I'm going to eat because my wife would not want me to sit there and not eat. Like, genuinely, she wouldn't need to say it's okay if you eat because I know her. But also, when you were bringing up the Chili's versus nice restaurant thing, I thought to myself, that's it. That's
Chili's is just getting
Chili's is getting crapped
right
on right now.
Rightfully so. That's what you get for having everything frozen in the back, Chili's.
But the thing is at a nice if you go to a nice restaurant, they would never do this. You would never have someone unless like
they would hold it.
Well, exactly. They would hold the food. And
why would they do that?
To come out at the same time.
If your food's ready in the back, why would they do that?
Because they want it to.
Why?
They want it to look like they are all timed up perfect.
No, every single restaurant does
that. For what purpose?
Well, I'm not saying it's worse to eat together at the same time.
It sounds like you're saying it's like not a reasonable thing to want to eat at the same time as somebody else.
The one thing that I was worried you were going to pick up on when I shared my sushi restaurant example is that when you go to a Japanese restaurant, it's actually standard procedure to whenever someone's food is ready, they bring it. So if my roll is ready first, they bring it.
They know what they're doing.
And you don't eat at the same time there. I've never, you know, and that works. Like, you don't sit there and feel like I'm not eating together because we're eating out of slightly sync. We're sitting at the same table.
It's super weird.
I don't have any problem with the with the staggered eating. I mean, I would prefer it to all be at the same time, but we're there together. So long as we all leave full and happy with a good time, I'm happy.
ER from Patreon says the three of you must put on a rap concert.
Uh-oh.
One man has to beatbox. One man has to rap. Third man writes all the lyrics, but then sprinkles in things like, what? Yeah, break it down.
I feel like we're all going to want that one.
Yeah, but are you...
You have to write all the lyrics then, Chase.
Oh, that's the most enticing part. The hype man part.
You got bars?
Oh, I would love to write some rap for you guys. I would love to. The best part about this is that I'm writing lyrics that you guys are doing, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, but then you're backing them up with, yeah!
Yeah, you are jumping in agreement. So if you're making us say some,
well, one of these
that's
examples,
right.
One of these examples is, what? So that's what I'd be, what? Say what? You'd be rapping some terrible thing. I'd say,
what? Why that? That's offensive.
I would never say that.
You're rude.
Take it back.
Yeah, so I'm going to be.
Boom off stage.
I'm going to be the mole within the group who is ruining everything.
I feel like this is troubling here because. Like, Mike's the best singer by far, but he's also the best beatboxer.
I feel like
not by much.
I feel like Mike has to be the beatboxer. Because when we look at, oh, man, that would put Andy actually doing the rap lyrics.
I could take care of it.
You think so?
No.
Aw.
No, it'd be a disaster.
I got excited for a second because I thought maybe he was.
Well, I could figure it out.
Whew, I would also be fine rapping. I would, because I, you know, little known fact, but known, It's a little known. Like it's not a secret, but not everybody knows it. This is what it means.
Little known, but known.
Okay, I unnecessary to add the but known.
Then he starts
starts
dunking on us like, no, that's how they say it.
But, you know, no big deal, but kind of big deal. Shout out there. But my point is I grew up.
That's
like,
stupid.
I had a long time where hip hop and rap music was like, that was all I listened to. So I feel like that's you know.
That makes you a rapper.
That's in me somewhere.
All right. It's time to move on.
The Spitballers Draft.
We are drafting the degrees you wish you had. So if you could just, I don't know, matrix yourself a degree right now.
I love it, man.
And give yourself the education and experience of a finely educated individual in a certain area of expertise. What degree would you choose?
What area of expertise and what degree? I have the first pick. And there's a wide range that I could go here. And I thought about, like, this isn't necessarily the best draft to have the 101. But then as I started thinking, I was like, there's no way this one makes it back to me. And I want it. Like, I want this one really bad. I want it to be mine.
Rapper.
A PhD in RAP. No, I'm gonna go with a PhD in computer science because I've always wanted to be able to code. And I used to in high school and a little bit in college, and then it just went away. And I used to think I was like a computer genius. And then I met computer geniuses, and I was like, I'm so stupid. I mean, not only is this one of the highest paying occupations out there, so like fallback option, but actually practicality. I could use it for so many things. So I'm going to be a computer whiz.
Yeah. Okay. So you're taking a computer science degree?
Yeah. Is there any chance that you would have picked twice and Mike would have picked twice and not taken that?
I would not have taken that.
Okay.
It's definitely on my list, but I have two more I would take before it. At least.
I am not, and I'll just tell you right now, I am not choosing things based on practicality. In fact, I'm doing the very inverse. I think that's how most degrees are chosen.
That's what most of them are.
Right.
I was looking things up for this. Sorry, but apparently you can get one in bassooning.
What is bassooning?
Playing the bassoon.
Impractical.
You can get a degree in bassoon.
Okay, so there's...
The orchestra instrument, bassoon, which shout out to my bassooners out there. Peter and the Wolf is fantastic. But a degree? A degree in bassooning?
Look, if you take your bassoon to the next level, that's what you do.
What I learned today is that colleges really want your money. Just whatever you want to learn, we will teach you. We've got a program for that.
I am choosing things that I think are the most interesting. Fascinating. Right. I didn't pay too much attention to salaries or how many people are doing it.
Okay.
Just genuinely things that I'm fascinated by or things that I didn't know you could get a degree in. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to break your heart. Maybe, Mike. But my number one pick is going to be astrobiology.
Oh, okay.
Which I think the idea that I could be educated in and then work in a field where I get to look at the heavens and I get to study planets and planetary habitation and those type of things would be incredibly fascinating.
Biology of the stars. I feel like, and I know this is surprising, I'm no biologist, but...
What?
I know. I feel like, I mean, I know that's obviously a real thing, but don't you have to, like, to study the biology of something, I feel like you need the actual... like material.
There's False. Ways that they can figure it out. That's why we have astrobiologists.
I feel like that's an astrologist. Like no, they're
and,
learning.
And no, and it's, Jason, an astrologist is the people that look at the constellations and predict your future.
Yeah.
An astronomer?
There we go.
Those are very different things.
And also, well, that's what I'm talking about.
Go read that review again.
An astronomer is just a person who studies what you can see. Where astrobiology and astrophysics, like that's getting into much deeper level stuff.
I get astrophysics, right? The physics of what's going on out in the stars that you can monitor from the ground. I just don't understand how you do biology from the ground.
They figure it out, man.
All right. Can I get a scoop of that Mars stuff?
All right, so I'm going to go with an astrobiology degree.
I have astrophysics on my list, but that was like I was looking it up, and it was like everything kept saying astrobiology. So I don't know if that's the same.
Get out of my lane, bro.
I know.
Get out.
But biology and physics are definitely not anywhere related. But however, I won't.
But I'm claiming astro.
Yes. Yeah, so
anything at the end of astro is mine.
Oh.
So turf is out.
I am an astroturf specialist, yes.
Oh, that's great. I've got some need for you in my backyard. Yeah,
only the turf that grows on other planets, though.
All right. Well, then speaking of fun degrees that I found, that sound like it would be absolutely incredible. Theme park engineering.
Ooh, my son would.
There's only two available jobs, but those two people have a great job.
You live on the West Coast or you live on the East Coast? I love how to you and I, Mike, there are two amusement parks in the world, Disneyland and Disney World, and then that's it.
Well, I wasn't even implying that. I'm saying that for how many roller coasters get built a year, how many actual like theme park engineers do we really employ?
We need two on the earth.
That's what I mean.
There's two main jobs.
But that job sounds super dope.
It does seem great. I mean, I guess you do have one nuance to don't screw up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your math better check out. Better triple check that math.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that. And, you know, just engineering in itself is pretty cool. All right. My next one, it's similar to Jason. Like, I feel like you could probably make some good money in this, but this is also preparing for the impending takeover. So when they become our overlords, they'll know I'm on the team.
Jason, they're gonna take over.
I'm taking robotics, baby.
You could use your degree to help us win, fight back.
Nope. It's inevitable. It's already started. Skynet has already been unleashed.
You'll have to use the computer science degree to try to get.
Yeah, apparently.
But you better go.
Good luck out hacking a robot.
Well, that's the only way you're going to beat them is hack them. It's got to be software. You're not going to beat them.
No, it's just EMPs is the only
Mike's
way.
Mike's riding on their shoulders. So we're he's created most of them.
All right. King of the robots now. They're just going to squash you.
That's fine.
All right, back to me.
Yep.
I am staying off the ground.
I can't believe you took astrobiology.
Yeah, I'm staying off the ground, too. I'm going to go with, and I think the right direction, because there's like a bunch of degrees within it, but it's aviation.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Study.
So
I want to be
if you're going to be a pilot, you get a degree in aviation. Or I guess you could say like aerospace, depending on what
I think you just have to get a license to be a pilot.
Right, but I'm going to go to the next level so I can fly all sorts of stuff.
So you can talk down to your fellow
that
pilots?
That is correct, yes.
Where'd you get your degree?
Well, I mean, I imagine degrees, you'll get more of the wings on your shirt, right?
Oh, is They'll that how
They'll give you all
works?
Sorts
that's
of wings.
That's what the wings represent. Is
I thought those were free for little kids.
Not only the ones kids, made of gold.
Yeah, only the ones that went to college for aviation.
Isn't it funny, too, that there was a time, like when our parents all grew up, when like pilots were treated completely different.
Oh, like celebrities.
Catch me if you can style?
Yeah, because the air transportation was so like novel and like.
Might as well have been an astronaut.
Yeah, it was just such a revered profession. I don't feel like.
We don't revere anything now.
Yeah, because.
Athletes, that's it. Because
they cram us into a tiny little box.
Well, the aviation guy doesn't do that.
It doesn't matter. You're part of it. You're part of that system that put too many seats in there.
My point, though, is like name a current modern day astronaut.
Shoots.
Yeah, there's
no,
a couple.
Time's up.
No, yeah.
No, you. It was not top of mind. Neither one of you could. I'll give you five more seconds.
No, you're right. It's definitely not top of mind.
They're going to space. It's
but
amazing.
I follow some on Twitter.
Okay. All right. Am I up?
Yeah, yep. You're up. You got two picks.
All right, so I've got a PhD in computer science, and that's cool and all. It's very practical.
I mean, it's very nerdy, but
it's very nerdy. I'm a nerd. I love nerd stuff. So this next one is very important because it's probably even more practical, but it comes with the most important impractical thing that is very necessary
it's
for
practically
me.
Practically impractical?
And that would be, I'm going to get a doctor of medicine, a medicine degree, and a medical degree. That's what it is. It's a doctor of medicine. That's what they're called.
Okay.
I'm getting that so that y'all have to call me doctor.
Mm.
Because I might have a PhD, but you're not calling me a doctor because I got a doctorate in computer science.
They're really, there was a disconnect that some that happened somewhere.
Teachers like, get them,
and
if you're a teacher, you get that.
If you have, but I'm saying anyone who has a doctorate, you have earned the right to be called doctor. Like that, you worked your butt off and you educated yourself.
But you're not a doctor.
But you are not a doctor,
right?
And that's what I'm saying, that a disconnect happened here somewhere where we got to figure out how to split these things up so that they're both revered and not interfering.
I feel like that's the reward for residency. Like a doctor, even if you go to, like, you go get a doctorate in another profession, you still don't have to go do, like, another 7 years of residency before you earn that title. Like, doctors still go to school more than everybody else.
Right.
It's not even.
But so then I'm saying for a doctorate, there should be another.
Right. You should be called a doctorate. That's what you should. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're a doctor. He's just a doctorate. It's like a poor
but
man's
doctor. But they're both good.
They're both good, but.
So wait,
you know,
what did you take?
I'm an MD.
The bassoon thing?
I'm an MD.
Okay.
And a computer programmer. But now I'm going to take the most important science.
He's a data doctor.
Data doctor. I'm going to take
you're
the most important
recovering
science.
Hard drives.
Kansas State University has an incredibly important science department for me, and it's bakery science.
Bakery science?
Oh, yeah, baby! You want to taste my donuts when I got a doctorate in baking? They're going to be
outstanding.
You're
Dr. Donuts!
I'm Dr. Donuts! Yes! That's both my superhero and supervillain name. Oh, man, I am Dr. Donuts. Heck yeah. Dude, I'm going to bake up the wildest stuff, and then I'm going to prescribe myself some killer heartburn medication. Fantastic.
Dr. Beatties.
Dr. Beatties. Oh, yeah.
Well, bakery science, I figured you'd eventually find your way into the kitchen. So, mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Now where to go? I'm sticking with passions, curiosities, things that I wished that I could do. And I imagine if I went to enough school for this, you musician people need to help me with the name of the degree.
Okay.
But if I wanted to be like a pianist, what would that degree be?
That would probably be
music theory?
Well, you could do a music theory one. That's more than just piano.
What about would it be performance music?
Yeah, probably.
Can I, if I spent 8 years in school, could I become a good pianist?
Oh, absolutely.
Then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yes.
That sucks. That was going to be my last
one. You were going to take piano?
No, I was going to take a music degree. There's general music degree, so you can learn different instruments. I looked that up. That was going to be my last pick because I'm terrible with music, but I wish I wasn't. I wish I knew how to play instruments. And
Al, will you give me my degree right now, please?
Yes, you're a doctor of musical arts and piano performance.
Thank you.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Wow, you can really play.
It's not the same as Dr. Donuts, but we both have our roles in this world.
I'm pretty happy with my current standing in life.
I have a feeling we won't be running into each other too much in the real world.
You don't run in the same crowds?
I don't think we work with the same people.
Oh, please. At the end, you'll be playing the piano in my donut shop live music in
the background. I'm willing. Mike, you are back on the clock.
All right. And speaking of jobs that I think are now kind of, they used to be more important. You know, like a pilot was a revered thing. And it, along the lines of our population growth, of having to just build things quickly, it's become far more function.
Sure.
But a good piece of architecture. Mm. It is timeless. It never goes away. These things become wonders of the world. Like when Notre Dame, when that like had that fire, that was like that was a global problem, and we're all like, no, that cannot happen. We need to restore this beautiful piece of architecture. So I'm going to be an architect. I mean, I'm sure I'm related to Frank Lloyd in somehow.
Right. I mean, you have the same last name.
Yeah. But that's how we're related.
Yeah.
Clearly. But like an architect who gets out there, and
it's one of my biggest pet peeves.
I'm not doing performance art. I'm not doing the things on the side of the road. I'm doing like real buildings.
Yeah, I mean,
going to make like a cathedral.
When, yes. When do architects sit on the side of the road showing you the plans to the buildings? Are there? Is that happening?
No, but I'm saying like just like the funny structures on the side of the road.
Oh, okay. It bothers me a lot that we don't seem to prioritize architecture in today's society.
We do not.
Because it's efficiency, it's cost, it's building a building for a business. It's not about what it looks
beauty.
Like.
Beauty. And like, yeah. Is it because we can't figure out how they did it? Because I look at these buildings that they built in the 20s, you go, that's impossible.
No, because
no one could do that anymore.
They have stuff from the 80s that we wouldn't really want today, but it's still architecturally unique. Like when you think of downtown, there's a Super Salad in it now. It used to be a bank.
Oh, yeah.
But there used to be an ice cream place,
yeah,
too.
I mean, there are these places in Phoenix that have completely unique, I mean, they're 80s style, wild architecture, but... You know,
Are we going to look back at stuff
built now?
I went by there just yesterday. It's actually now a munition shop.
Okay.
Oh, well, it's running the gamut.
Okay. I mean, we always do every...
Next
there
up,
is
petting
a,
zoo.
A rule here in Arizona that within every 20 years, it has to be a munition shop at some point in time.
Every building. Every landlord
depending
has
on how
to
it's zoned, not residential. But, yeah, any commercial property has to at least cycle through some
munitions. I was zoned M.O. Yeah, that's for M.O.
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 I love the pick. That's a great one. It was not on my list, but not because I think that one's awesome. Being able to sit down and have the freedom to build something.
It's incredible, man.
That'd be cool.
That they do. And then my last one, I am not nearly as educated as I wish I was in history. I love it. And come on. If there is like a 0.05% chance that I could turn into Indiana Jones, I'm going to take it.
Okay.
It's not practical, but there's a chance, right? There's a chance. So I'm taking a degree in archaeology.
That's wonderful.
Okay. I thought you were just going to go with history.
Indiana Jones.
No, I thought you were going to do like a history degree.
Oh, no.
No, which and would, I was going to say you got to go something practical, like hands-on. I like that.
Probably a good... 10 years of my life, I wanted to be an archaeologist.
Because of Indiana Jones?
No, because of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that's a paleontologist.
That's
a different degree.
No, I think they both apply.
No. Archaeology is studying like human history. Paleontology is studying dinosaurs.
Anthropology
is
the history
humans.
Of humans. Yeah.
Yes. But archaeology would be like historical culture, right?
Archaeology.
Otherwise, I spent 10 years with the wrong ambitions.
Yeah, archaeology is...
Fossil record, paleontologist, fossil record over human history.
You said the word paleontologist.
Yeah, I know. And then I'm looking up archaeology.
Oh, okay.
Study of human history and prehistory through the excavation. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
There you go. Well, childhood dreams crushed.
Well, the worst part is I search archaeology.
Oh, no.
It gives me that definition. You know what the four pictures Google shows you on the right side under the field of
dinosaurs?
Study?
Dinosaurs?
They're dinosaurs.
Guess what?
They're dinosaurs.
Guess what's still available, Andy.
Yeah.
You can make that childhood dream come true right here.
Man. It does seem better than...
You could John Hammond this thing.
So I am a paleontologist.
You could be.
All right, I take it.
All right.
I don't blame you. I thought, like, when I was a little kid, too,
dinosaurs
were everything.
I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Got to get your roots.
Ambition, my roots.
This is really cool for you. To not only in the same day learn what a dummy you were as a kid, but correct the problem and still fulfill the actual dreams of your childhood. I'm very happy for you. But you took my music pick, so I don't know where to go now that I'm on the clock.
You're out of picks?
I'm out of picks. No, I've got two different ones, and they're a little different. Because
candlestick maker?
Candlestick, it's on the list.
Because you're already the baker.
You know I would go butcher first. Are you kidding me? With my meat background?
Your meat? I don't know about your meat background.
Yeah,
please
let me
tell
you a little bit about
extensive.
My meat background. I have been eating meat since approximately 6 months old. My mother would bottle feed me meat. So it really started young. All right. So I was thinking about a PhD in economics just because that's – I would love to know more and – be able to the ins and outs of that world. And also it sounds pretty good for, I don't know, your economics in life. But I'm going to go more towards the passion, more towards something that I think would be awesome, fun, that I think, you know, in a different life, I could succeed with and still stay in genres that I love. And that would be a PhD in sport and entertainment management. So, what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Getting to be an agent, a manager, you know.
Those, I imagine, because we our other job is in football, and so every once in a while you get to see a phone call between a sports agent and the sports team, and they're, you know, casually negotiating, but they're casually talking about multiple millions of dollars. So to be on one side of that, be like, look, man, you're going to give us $20 million. They're like, no, we'll give you 15. To be part of that, to like have the backbone to stand up for a deal for $20 million would be awesome.
See, and what's funny is I don't have the backbone to stand up for myself, but I would have no problem for someone else negotiating, playing hardball, doing that stuff, just really crossing that line of comfortability. But when it's for me, I'd be like, it's okay. Whatever you offer, I'll take. So that would be fun. I think I'm going to be a super agent.
I just like that the degrees went from like regular degrees to like now we have to be a PhD in that field.
I started with
it.
PhD.
Escalated a little bit. Okay, some other we're done, right? Some other considerations here. I'm surprised Mike didn't take it because I know it's on his short list of things he'd like to do. Metalsmithing, blacksmithing.
Metalsmithing is on my list.
I don't have a lot of other ones. I wrote down nautical archaeology. Apparently, that's a thing.
Oh, that's fun.
I made a joke about turf, but actually turf and golf course management was on my list of like working on a golf course. Man, that wouldn't be too bad.
That sounds like a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. It gets so hot. You still got to work in the summers. It's not like you get to go out and play a round of golf. You're just a landscaper. That's what you're drafting, a landscaper summers.
I guess.
I have PhD in statistics with our fantasy football stuff.
Okay.
You combine that with my computer engineering degree. Whew, heck yeah.
All right. One more thing.
What did we learn today?
Oh, man.
I learned that there is an instrument named a bassoon.
You didn't know about the bassoon?
I can tell you.
You buffoon?
If you told me, I'm going to draw a bassoon right now, okay?
Okay.
I doubt
you're going to, if you just learn what it is, your odds of getting this one right are pretty low.
I think I got this one. A bassoon is a horned instrument that
incorrect.
Looks like this. Is this correct? Is this a bassoon? Or is this?
No.
That's a flask.
I can see what you're saying. Like it kind of looks like a science speaker.
That's a genie.
Yeah.
Coming out of a bottle.
Totally.
I learned that Mike has a under roux pass that he would pay to remove.
And I learned that in a job interview, the ultimate power move is pulling out a hard-boiled egg.
Staring him straight in the eye, start peeling.
That'll do it for today's Spitballers. Thank you, Al, for all that you do here.
I've got the best job in the world.
Yeah. We'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.